in this series called Learning to Love God's Word. And if there ever was a day and a time, I think when we needed to have a passion mm-hmm. to know God's Word, to learn God's Word, to put faith in God's Word, we are living in that day. Just take a look at the news. I mean, as the world, it seems like it's just becoming, some days it's like the world is becoming unhinged right before our eyes. I'm thinking, what is happening? Does anybody feel like that?
Yeah.
You know, when you listen to the media and you listen to the news. And I think when we see this happening, and we have to remember that God's word is an anchor for our soul, that his word, it remains a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And the word of God, I was just reading in 2 Peter this week, he says, is like a lamp shining in a dark place. And he's meaning like the gospel light is like shining into a dark world. And then he goes on to say, and we would do well to pay attention to it until the day dawns and the morning star, we see it arise in our hearts, which is the Jesus. He's referring to Jesus and the word of God even arising in our own hearts. And so the light of God's word shines as a direction and an understanding in a dark world, and it shines as a light into our dark minds.
Amen.
That often need renewed to think according to God's word. And so it gives direction, it gives truth, it gives life. It's just like that new song that we sang. Isn't that a great song, Living Hope? Wasn't worship awesome? Yeah,
I know. That's why we want to add it to our prayer.
I know,
prayer.
We want to keep building on it, yeah. So the word of God gives us living hope in this life and beyond this life. You do know that you will live beyond this life. That death is not the end for us. We will step on into eternity,
yes.
Eternal life or eternal death. There's just really two destinations. But so as you read the headlines, or you listen to the news, you see the increase in lawlessness around us, it is easy to get anxious. And there are a lot of anxious people in the world. I was just reading something about 1 out of 6 Americans takes an antidepressant, adults, even younger children, or some kind of anti-anxiety medication. And the other day, I saw an ad, which almost made me cry. I looked at it and thought, this has got to be some cynical joke. This can't be for real. But it was an ad for a bulletproof liner for a child or a teenager's backpack. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I thought, this can't really be what's happening. And I thought of our kids going off to school. You know, here it is, school time heading, you know, right around the corner. And I thought about our kids, like, their friends, they get new outfits. Kids get a new backpack. They're walking. I just saw them in my mind. They're walking down the sidewalk together. Hannah, our daughter's visiting this weekend.
Yay!
Yeah. And I just saw happy kids, you know, walking together in my mind. And I thought, now parents rarely let their kids walk anywhere. I mean, sometimes it might be out of a little bit of laziness, but mostly it's out of fear. It's like, no, our kids walked, I think, 3 blocks to school after they were at a certain age. And there was never that sense of fear the way it is now. I mean, and here we are in 2019, and I'm thinking back to school shopping. This is what parents and kids have to even entertain in their mind. I mean, I know they're buying phones for their kids, but bulletproof lined backpack? I'm thinking, what is happening? And I just sat there shaking my head as I looked at that ad, and I thank God for the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of a believer.
Yes.
Because I don't know how people live in this day without God on the inside of them, giving them a tweak. It's like, wait a minute, because that's how I felt like the Holy Spirit was like, God was saying, I'm in control. I'm with you. You know, you are not, Scripture says that his eye is even on the sparrow. Nothing escapes his notice.
Correct.
You know, Jesus had said that in the Gospels, that not a sparrow falls from the nest without your Father's heavenly notice. And so that's why he's told us, like, when you go around in your everyday life, and he knew the day and time that we would live in, not to fear or become alarmed at what you see happening around you.
Right.
Right? To put our trust in him, to lean into him, to lean into his care. He knew the day, again, in time that you and I would live in, and he said, I'm never leaving you or forsaking you. Amen. So his protection and his love and his wisdom even on how to view things happening in life is with us. And so although things can sometimes feel like, and I'd say not even feel like, they are falling apart.
Right.
I go, like, things are like falling apart, Lord. Right on the other hand, according to Scripture and the mindset of Christ, God would say things are actually falling together.
Right, falling into place.
Falling into place. Because one mindset is going to panic and anxiety. And as you read and you see things going on, if you don't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, it'd be easy to just be like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? It's like, I thought about like the story of Chicken Little. Anybody know that story? The sky's falling, the sky's falling. What are we going to do? You know, and God's like, yeah, I know. It may fall, even if the mountains fall.
That's right.
Into
come
the
on.
Sea. It's like he's putting his arms out saying, but come under my wings, little chickies. You know, come under my wings. You'll be safe. And truly, that is how God sees it. In God's eyes, it's all falling into place.
Amen.
According to his will, according to his plan. God's still on the throne.
Come on.
We've been looking at Psalm 119 where it says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in the heavens. It's settled in the heavens. God's plan and purpose is still coming to pass amidst the craziness that mm-hmm. we see around us. I mean, you look at the book of Revelation and you think he's doing it. I mean, it's going to, this age is going to finish up the way God intends.
Correct.
And he has not abandoned his people just because we do see the craziness and maybe the unhinging of things in the world.
Well, the truth is the Bible, this book right here, everything that we're seeing has been prophesied long ago. Yeah. These current events that are in the news, what's happening in the world right around us right now, it's been prophesied in this book.
Yeah.
You want to see the previews? You know, that's how they sell the new shows. The previews are right here in this book. You know, and the truth is, those of us who are students of the Word, you're not standing there wringing your hands, wondering, what am I going to do? Right. Maybe I should get that backpack with the bulletproof liners. Right. It's like, it's already been declared what's going to happen. We see it right here. It's in this book. You want to know what's going to happen? Read this book. Read this book. John wrote the book of Revelation some 2,000 years ago. The things that are happening are written by Daniel and Ezekiel long before those guys.
Yeah.
It's all right here. God's word will give his people peace. It'll give them wisdom and insight. They'll know the things that are happening. The word of God will strengthen you in your inner man so that you can live these days in the strength of his might, not in the strength of your might. You know, there is quite a difference. The strength of your might, you're going to be wringing your hands like this. But the strength of his might, you're going to say, I already have a bulletproof vest on. I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen to you? Oh, you die and go to heaven? Oh. You win either way. But the question is, are you ready? Honestly, just because you come to church here doesn't mean that you are ready. It takes you spending time in this word to develop your relationship with Jesus. Jesus warned his people. He says, you know, do you have fresh oil? Do you have spare oil? Or is your lamp just all you got is in that lamp? Or do you have spare oil? Spare oil is your relationship with Christ. Do you know what is going to happen? Do you know the Word of God? You know, when you face things in your life, the Bible actually has an answer for you. And if you're a student of the Word, you're going to know what it says, and you're going to be at peace by saying, yes. That's right there in Ephesians or whatever it might be. You've got to understand this is your shelter. He is your shelter. He is your strength. He is your standby. You know, the church is coming to its final hour. Final hour. Everything's wrapping up. There's nothing more that needs to be done before the rapture of the church. And the rapture of the church is going to take true believers out. And what Pastor Mamie and I want is that you are heart hungry for the Word of God, that you stop abandoning your own thoughts and you start to take His thoughts. You clear the table, so to speak, and you start to get into His Word to find direction, to find peace, to find out what you're really about. Because there's going to come a time where the Bible says that you're going to say, the bridegroom comes. Here's the bridegroom. Get ready. And those people have the extra oil will be ready. That's a scary parable, by the way, if you've read it. He says the bridegroom is here. Everybody goes out to meet him, but then there's a group of people that don't have the oil. Oh, give us some of yours. Well, we don't have anymore. Go find it. And the Bible says the door is closed. When they come to knock on it, open up to us. And you know what Jesus says? I don't know you. I don't want that to happen to a single person in this room or anybody hearing our voice. Your security is found in this book, because this book is a living word, and when you place it inside of here, it becomes a living word in you. Amen? And so here's the question. Where does all of the lawlessness that we see, where does it all originate? This is on our outline. Where does it originate? Why is the world in such a mess? You know? I mean, man has been on this planet for how many years? And there's never been an end to the hatred, there's never been an end to the jealousy, the murder, the idolatry. There's no end to the immorality. I thought we were supposed to be evolving.
I haven't figured the answer to that question.
It's not happening. But you know what? On your outline is the answer. One verse in the Bible tells you where it all originates. There's many verses in the Bible, but this was an easy one.
Packed with wisdom.
Packed with wisdom. Look what it says. 1 John 5, verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world around us is under the power of the evil one. The world is under the power of the evil one. Again, one verse of the Bible packed with the answer. It has the insight about the reality of the condition of this earth. And many people, you know, blame God, you know. Oh, if God was in control, He's sure making a mess of things, you know. But when people say that, they just simply display their ignorance of the Scripture. Or their unwillingness to actually yield themselves over to thinking, well, maybe the Bible is true. Because the answer is found in the book. Yeah. Right here in the book. And we've got to remember, we're going to find out why it all happened. Genesis, yeah. The book of beginnings. Let's take a look at that.
Right. Let's take a look. This is on our outline. Because we have to remember this about our roots, about mankind's roots. It's funny, you know, when I say mankind, I always think of this whole gender thing lately. It's like, I said it. I said mankind. I'm still going to say it. Okay, God originally gave dominion of the earth to Adam and Eve.
Right.
This is a big chunk of wisdom, really, if we want to understand where the chaos began. We're going to just tell this little bit of the story from Genesis, because it's going to help us to understand the bigger picture of life that we are living in, that behind the scenes of everyday life, there is a spiritual war going on that, again, and it ties closely to why we need to stay in faith and the knowledge of God's word.
Come on.
But if we're going to understand where the chaos began, we have to understand that in Genesis 1, it tells us on the sixth day, God made Adam and Eve, and He blessed them. It's a Genesis 1:26 that God blessed Adam and Eve. He said, multiply and have dominion over all the earth, the plants, the animals. Have dominion. In other words, He was saying, have rulership. The earth is yours. Have dominion, all right? So this was God's intention for His created beings. And the whole beautiful earth and the universe that he created and he spoke into being. And so men and women, you know, were made in God's image, okay, in God's likeness. His intention was for them to populate the earth and build a family of God.
Right.
That he could bless and love and have fellowship with. And as a family of God, just like you'd be like, imagine, mm-hmm. because the families of the earth are patterned after the family in heaven, that you want your children to love you back, right? Isn't that what makes a wonderful family life? When you have the parents loving the kids and the kids loving the parents back, it's beautiful. And that's what God intended for him. And it was the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God in a stunningly beautiful, sinless, glorious place. That's awesome. What an awesome plan. Think about it. Magnificent that he would invite us into it.
Oh, my.
And the beautiful thing is, as we're talking about Revelation, he's made a way for it to happen. It is going to happen one day. We're going to see it happen. But Adam and Eve gave their authority, as we know, in the garden at that point, they bowed their knee to the serpent, which is the evil one that we saw there in 1 John 5. And that's how Satan became the god of this world.
Right.
We're going to look at some more of this next week. We're just going to lay the foundation of it this week. But that's 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's called the god of this world, who blinds the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the glorious light of the gospel. So you see, he's at work in the earth, blinding people's minds to dismiss their need for the gospel and salvation. And so the serpent comes in, he's whispering to Eve. What does he say? Genesis 3:1. Here we go. Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, referring to Satan, said to the woman, "Can it really be that God has said you shall not eat from the tree of the garden?" From every tree. What was he intending to do? Mm-hmm. Because God had told them, you can eat from everything. You can have everything here, but just the one tree in the middle, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Isn't it interesting? The one thing they had everything, the one thing they zero in on when God says, don't go there. It's like, oh. So the devil comes, Satan comes. What was he intending to do when he said, can you really trust God?
All right.
He wanted a deceiver. One of the primary names the Bible gives for Satan, the devil, is deceiver. Okay, so if he could deceive her, he knew he would usurp.
Correct.
What she owned, her dominion, her rulership. And he was jealous of their dominion, obviously, of the earth. He wanted rulership of it because that's, when we look at the whole picture of the Bible, that's what happened. He's the god of this world now. So he cast doubt in her mind to deceive her about God's character. Like, maybe you can't trust that God told you everything. If he said, don't eat that from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, maybe you can't totally trust him, Eve. And so here's one thing we have to understand about the story is that there's deception going on here. Deception is crafty because this is still the devil's mode in 2019. It's crafty.
Right.
It's trickery. So you go along with it, not knowing that you're being deceived. I mean, he wasn't going to come into the garden waving a banner, hate God, you know, go against God. It'd be too obvious. So he's subtle. He's going to whisper, and that's what he does with us. We're going to get into more of that next week.
Right.
And this is really why you need to have the Word of God hidden in your heart, because it helps you to discern then as you walk with God, the mind, you know, the voice of the enemy versus the witness of the Spirit. But he knew if he could help, if they would bow to him and listen to him, they would lose their dominion over the earth. And in doing that, they would lose that sacred relationship, all
right.
the blessing that they had with God.
Right. They lost their relationship with him. It's a spiritual reality for us to understand.
So we go to Genesis 3 here.
When we disobey, the Bible says in Romans, whom you obey, that's the one who's the master over you. And this is exactly the scripture that was used by the serpent to usurp the authority of Adam and Eve. Genesis 3:4. It says, then the serpent said to the woman, you're not going to die. You're surely not going to die. Doubting God's word. For God knows that the day you eat, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good from evil. You'll be like God. Well, now, weren't they created in the image of God? Weren't they already like God? And what makes them like God is that they had a free will. They could choose. So what happens is that she starts looking at the fruit. It looks good. It looks good. Yeah, you're going to be smart. You know, maybe God's holding out on you. And, you know, we know that she partook. We know that they didn't die physically immediately. It took another 900 and some odd years, but they spiritually died right then and there. Spiritual death was lodged in a man, and man had no way to remove it. See, the forgiveness of your sins isn't just the forgiving of a deed done. We are all born with a sin nature. It's the nature that has to be removed, and that's what Jesus did for all believers. That's why he said you must be born again, born anew, born of the Spirit of God, and that's what causes us to be children of the living God. So they've lost their relationship. They've lost it. They now have spiritual death, and this was part of their makeup. And Adam and Eve passed it along to every person who was ever born on the planet. In some of the writings of the Jewish historians, it talks about how depressed Adam and Eve were after the fall. After the fall, what did they do? They hid themselves from God. They hid. Before that, God would come and they would have communion with them in the cool of the day. They would ask questions. God would answer their questions. It was an enjoyable time. And then what happens? Same thing that happens in your family, and my family. It's blame shifting happening here. God comes, Adam, where are you? God knew where Adam was. But he goes back to it, says, here, look at this. Adam starts to blame Eve. Then actually, Adam actually blames God. He goes right here, it's in verse 12. He says, the man said, it's the woman you gave me. And she gave me the fruit and I ate. You know, the Bible says that Eve was deceived, but Adam was not. He willfully, knowingly disobeyed God. And we know that this sin ripped the fabric of the universe. Unrepairable except by God himself. Everything that was teeming with life is now on a death cycle. Yes, mourning, but everybody goes the way of the world. There is a death eventually for every single one of us. The breath that was breathed into Adam, the breath that was breathed into Eve was now lost. Right. It was lost.
So everything. I don't know if we could quite understand what it must have been like for them to live in pure life and then see everything now coming under the effect of the curse of sin.
Right.
And God tells Adam, he begins to tell him, if you go back and read Genesis, read the first 3-4 chapters, very enlightening. Genesis 3:17, he says, the ground is under a curse because of you. And in sorrow and toil shall you eat of the fruits of it all the days of your life. And we're still doing that now. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field and the sweat of your face. You shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So now, you know, not only were their physical bodies going to be subject to death, and like Steve was saying, it took 900 some years for death to finally take their bodies, but their mind and their heart now would become subject to the
right
suggestions and the wrongful imaginations that come from the kingdom of darkness. and just influence. I mean, in Romans 7 and 8, in the New Testament, it labels that like the warring that goes on between the mind of the flesh and the mind of the spirit. And the mind of the flesh opposes God,
correct,
never wants to submit to God. We've all experienced every day the mind of the flesh. What God says, you know, obey this, and our flesh immediately, I don't feel like it. I don't want to, and it's too hard. That's been around since Adam and Eve fell.
Right.
That's where that came from. I mean, Adam and Eve's first son, Cain, murders his brother Abel.
Think about that.
You know, in selfishness and jealousy over sacrificial offerings, because God accepted Abel's, he did it the right way. He brought a blood sacrifice. Cain brought the fruit of the ground, the field. And then when God comes and questions his action, he says, like Cain, the same thing, where are you? God knows where he is. He's looking for a heart that wants to admit in honesty. And Cain answers, he goes, because God says, the blood of your brother is crying out to me from the earth. And Cain's answer is, I don't know where he is, basically. Am I my brother's keeper? I'm thinking, look at that obstinate attitude towards God.
Right.
And then Cain, you know, complains to God that the judgment for my sin is too harsh, if you go on and read the story.
You just murdered your brother.
You just murdered your brother. What do you want me to do? Imagine Adam and Eve's horror at all
of
this.
Yeah, think about that.
They did not lose their memory of where they once were. And I think, oh my gosh, this was the beginning of the sinful fallen nature that will get reproduced over and over and over, generation after generation in the earth. And by Genesis 6, you see that God says that the wickedness in the earth was great, and that the heart of man's heart was so wicked. That's when he's talked to Noah about building an ark. He's like,
right,
I'm going to flood this and start over, basically. But we don't see, we don't see people taking heed to anyone's instruction there whenever God begins to talk to Abel, even about his sin and disobedience. Because he tells Cain that sin is crouching at your door, but you must learn to rule over it or master it. And so God gives even Cain a picture of how to overcome it, but generation after generation, as I said, by the time you get to Genesis 6, you see that nobody's paying attention to God's instruction in the earth. And so it was sin. This is on our outline. It was sin and disobedience to God that opened the door to the human misery that we see in the earth. Sin and disobedience to God. Why is the world in the mess that it's in if God is in control? Well, let's remember this. Sin and disobedience to God open the door to the human misery we see in the earth.
Right.
So it grieved the heart of God. You can imagine God, as the Creator, creates beings in his image and his likeness to bless, to be in his family. And now here they are outside of that protective relationship on their own. That's why they sewed fig leaves together, to just try to superficially cover themselves as a defense. I mean, God knows new evil, the knowledge of good and evil. The problem is, outside of God, you are defenseless, really, against the working of the devil and
evil.
Because they now come under his rulership. And so all of this grieved the heart of God. But then we see in his mercy, he begins already the plan of redemption in Genesis chapter 3.
Well, this is really good, because after it occurred, God speaks to the serpent and he says, you're cursed above all creatures. But then he comes and says, this is the first time that God is prophetically speaking out the plan of redemption. He tells the devil that there's one coming that'll bruise your head, but you'll bruise his heel. And when you take a look at the Bible, talks about headship, that's talking about authority. Look what it says here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. And this is exactly what Pastor Maimon was talking about. There's an enmity between the spirit and the flesh. Your flesh does not want to obey God in any way. And the only way to subdue your flesh is to put the word of God in your heart. Hide it in your heart, simply start to obey it, and that puts the flesh in its place. Because the Bible says no flesh is going to make it into heaven. And so we don't want that. Amen. Look what he says. He says, God is speaking. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He, Jesus, will bruise and tread your head underfoot, and you will lie in wait and bruise his heel. Here it is, the plan of redemption going on right there. What happened next? God took an innocent animal, sacrificed it, and covered Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve in this perfect garden. Now they're watching God kill an animal. It's just, there was blood, folks. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Could you imagine Adam and Eve in a perfect environment, never seeing or experiencing or even coming into their mind anything about death? And then all of a sudden, they're being clothed with the skin of an animal they just saw being destroyed. I think our biggest problem is that we think a lot of times that God is like us. There's a scripture actually like that. God's rebuking his people. He said, you thought I was like you. God is holy and perfect. Holy and perfect. You know, that might be a good thing for you to pray and ask God, show me about your holiness. Show me about your perfectness. So this was the start of the old covenant, which then was a continuous sacrifice of an innocent animal to cover the sins of people. And it continued, and it continued, and it continued. It was continuous all through the old covenant. But this prophecy in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, talks about the sacrifice that will take away the sins of the world. The final sacrifice, Jesus Christ. And when he hung on that cross, he fulfilled that scripture. But the culmination and the finish of that is coming, where he will put the devil underfoot. He's going to rule and reign on this planet for 1,000 years, and you and I will, true believers, the true church, will rule and reign with him. But then there's going to be one more rebellion. And that is when the unity of faith happens. And man isn't going to do it. God will do it.
Just, I want to go back for a moment to just with Adam and Eve and the sin that happened there, that you said without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. So rather than Adam and Eve dying in penalty for their sin, I mean, that was a choice.
Right.
God in his mercy set up, allowed the judgment to fall on an innocent animal. That was the blood that was shed. That was the blood that covered for their sin. And that's really how those Old Testament sacrifices, why they had to continue. Because some people will ask those questions, why so many animals? Why did that happen? But again, you mentioned God's holiness. And you think God's so great, so spotless, so pure, perfect. He gave them unlimited freedom and blessing.
Oh my.
A glorious inheritance. And then Adam commits treason against God, bowing his knee, giving it all away. I mean, in the courtroom of heaven, and there is a law, the Bible talks about this, that in the courtroom of heaven, it really did demand the highest justice to be paid. It's like death of the guilty.
And right.
We think about our own courts of law now. Like when someone commits a heinous crime, you would go, I mean, people, we debate now about the death penalty. But people would say, yes, it deserves, something like that deserves the death penalty. So I say all that to just explain, you and I, that's what you and I deserved. Because Adam and Eve were the original parents of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were in them, so to speak. And so that's what we deserved. And so this is why a blood sacrifice was necessary, but as you said, Jesus hung on that cross.
Hallelujah.
Ultimately, he became the final sacrifice for sin. And so when he comes back, he's not paying, it says, any penalty for sin. He's coming back for his people. He's coming back for his church. And that's the good news of the gospel this morning, that you can be forgiven of your sin by the grace of God, mm-hmm. by putting faith in the blood sacrifice. He paid the penalty for your sin. And when you're willing to receive that, your response is, I see that I need forgiveness. And you desire to turn and
yes.
walk with him.
Yes.
You become a new creation in Christ. It's a gift because you could never earn your way back to heaven. You and I could never do enough things. Who can be 100% perfect in here? Every day, every minute, from the day you're born to the day you die. Anybody?
It's not just the deeds, it's your
not
thoughts.
It's the deeds, it's the thoughts, that's right.
It's your thought.
And so we become new creations, and that's the glorious part of where we are now, but that's still not the end of the story because we're obviously not back in paradise yet, okay? We are new creations on the inside. We still have to live out this life by faith. We are here, is this as 2 Corinthians 5:7, we are walking now by faith and not by sight. Because we do still have an adversary to God
Come
in our
on.
Faith, do we not? Yeah, it's the same being, Satan. So we're here in the earth walking by faith and not by sight, but this is our defense.
Amen.
See, Jesus is the Word of God, and this is where we're going to get to more next week, talking about how the Word of God relates to in our spiritual warfare. But faith in God, faith in God's Word, is the lamp to our feet and the light to our path to navigate through the deception and the darkness of the world that we live in. It's going to give us guidance. It's going to give
Yes.
us understanding. It's going to give us the power and the strength to endure, to be an overcomer in this life.
Come on.
To not fall back and drift away.
Or not say it's too hard.
Right.
It is hard.
Because the Bible does warn in first, we're going to look at this scripture, 1 Peter 5:8. Because it's Peter, the apostle Peter warns, he says there's an evil one, mm-hmm. he's referring to Satan, who roams as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He warned the early Christians about it. And it still applies to us today. This is what he said. He said, be sober-minded. Okay, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Wring your hands and get all panicky. Oh, it doesn't say that. Okay.
You don't mess with me. You don't mess with me, I won't mess with you.
Be nice to me. Yeah. I like you. I don't like you. No, it says resist him.
Right.
Right? Resist him. How? Firm in your faith.
Come on.
Knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. We are to resist him
yes.
firm in the faith. Amen. How do we get firm faith?
Come on.
I'm so glad you asked that question. Look, we have the answer here. Romans 10:17. So then,
there we go.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so as we wrap up this message today, are you reading the Word of God?
Come on.
Are you listening to the Word of God? Are you prioritizing learning it, hiding it in your heart to build up your faith, to be firm in your faith? If you're not, then the world and the winds of the world mm-hmm. and the storms of life, which they come to all of us, are going to want to shake the foundation of your soul. But God gives us a word of truth here. He tells us we can resist him by mm-hmm. the grace of God, but we need to have this word. This is our defense. This is our covering now. I mean, the world is in a mess because of Satan and sin and people's disobedience to
God. There we go.
It's our disobedience that causes a lot of the pain in our life. And it goes on even into generations. It's not even, this is the part of it, it's like it's not just for a parent, because generally if disobedient parents pass on disobedience to their children, and then then we see things start to fall apart.
Right.
And so, and the devil, you know, the devil has no sympathy. Frankly, I mean, he hates God and he hates his creation.
Right. He hates you.
You know, so he's going to continue with his fiery darts, his whisper suggestions to doubt God, his temptations, you know, to bombard our mind, talk to us about fear, get afraid, don't go to church. You know, those people are weird. They're going to, I don't know, they'll just tell you weird things. They'll just, he'll talk to you all day. Contrary thoughts that oppose the will of God for your life, that oppose that God loves you, that God is for you, that God's made a way for you to navigate through this life by the grace of God. And if we do nothing, if we have no word hidden in our heart, we don't know how to defend ourselves. I think we already know what that picture looks like, right? But thank God that's not the case for us this morning. That's why you're here this morning.
Come on.
We're going to close with this, but God gave us his word. He gave us his word. We're going to talk about this more next week, to be a sword and a shield.
Correct.
Okay, so we can fight the good fight of faith and defeat the lies, tear down the strongholds that are often built up in our minds that oppose the work of God and the purpose of God that come against our mind.
This is so important. It's so important because I grew up in a great home. A great home. It's a Norman Rockwell home, guys. However, my parents weren't perfect. That means I'm going into life with baggage that needs to be removed. And because I don't know it's baggage, I continue living in it. It takes the Word of God, having my mind renewed, to be able to judge those things, whether they're good or not, whether they're of God or not. And this is what is happening to the Christian church. God is calling you, he's calling me to take it serious, to get our minds renewed, to start immediately. Not get around to it tomorrow, but it's smart to start immediately. Because your life depends on it. And we've said this before, too. Choose your life. Choose your church like your life depends on it. Because if you're coming to a church that's not telling you these kind of things, you're going to just do the Doris Day philosophy. Whatever will be, will be. Well, isn't it God's will? It happened. No.
So it's just,
in order for you and I to take the first step in overcoming the devil, we have to submit to God. And the first step is submitting to God by giving your life to him, recognizing that you are a sinner, that you have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. You rebelled against God just like I rebelled against God. But his love is so great, is so mighty, so strong. That's a song that the kids know. That he is offering you and I forgiveness of sins, not just the forgiveness of a deed done, but he's offering us, the through his work, the ability to get rid of that old nature that cannot please God in the least, to be born of his Spirit. And the Bible says when you do that, he gives you the right, the authority to become children of the living God. I honestly don't understand why people just don't run to the altar. I don't. Because you know yourself. I know myself. And there are things that have gone on in our lives that we don't like and that we're ashamed of. But God is so good and so gracious that he is willing, if you come his way, the submitting to God, that all of that will be wiped out, forgotten. He'll give you a fresh start. And it's when you give your life to Jesus Christ, it's when you say, I agree with you, Jesus. I have failed to live a perfect life. And so I need a Savior. Is that anybody here? Did anybody in here recognize their position right now? That I need a Savior. I need to give my life to Jesus Christ. Because that's the only way. That's just the start of the adventure. Anyone? All right? Then I'm going to believe that every single person here has given their life to Christ.